As he mentioned, I have been here serving with Faith Alive for, I guess it's 11 years this month. And prior to that, as Pastor Jim mentioned, I spent about a total of 5 years down in Guatemala. My wife's actually from El Salvador, which we were close to the border there, and it's a long story. We have our good friends Stephen and Carla Stoffelson, who are still missionaries down in Guatemala, and I actually met my wife in their wedding, so lots of God connections there, right? Let's just take a moment of prayer, amen, before we enter into our next session here. We don't have a lot of time, but you know, worship was so good this morning. We just want to maintain that flow of the Spirit. Father, we worship you in this place this morning. You are so good, God. You're so wonderful. We love you, Lord. And God, I bless you for every man and woman of God that is in this place. In the name of Jesus, may they be strengthened in their inner person. May they walk away feeling 2 inches taller, Lord, with a spring in their step. May those divine connections that Pastor Jim spoke into really happen in this day, Lord God, because these are days when we need people around us, rooting for us, cheering us on, Lord God. Let us be those people. And we invite you once more, Holy Spirit, to do those things, to open your word, to connect us heart to heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I kind of feel like I understand Pastor Jim. I'm kind of in the same boat. I have a couple different points, and it's just, Lord, connect it the way you want to. But I do want to start out by honoring you. You know, I am so glad that there are other men and women of God, full of the Spirit of God, who believe his word, who have sacrificed, some of you, for years, decades, lifetimes, for the things of the gospel. You are amazing. We need more and more people, like the people we see sitting here today, to answer the call, to pay the price. And, you know, God values you. I value you. I value this ministry that God has birthed, you know, the joining together of OBFF and CFCM. I'm so glad that we as Faith Alive get to be here right from the beginning of that. You know, some of you have come along from those previous organizations, but, you know, God has more in store. Amen. Because the word that resonates in my spirit day to day, especially through this COVID season that we've all been living in and dealing with and wrestling with, is that I will build my church. Amen. And he's using you, he's using me, he's using this network, he's using all sorts of wonderful men and women of God to see that job done. Because he didn't just say, I'm going to do it. He said, now here are keys. I'm going to be with you. And I've created a team of people to see this done. Amen. So I honor you this morning for answering and continuing in the call of God. And I said to our church just a couple of weeks ago, you know, not every church has made it through COVID. Not every pastor has made it through COVID. Not every, you know, family is doing well in the midst of everything that's been going on. So if you're still standing, still fighting, I honor you. You know, I don't have to be a prophet to know that there's been discouragement in a lot of your lives over the last 18 months. Because the circumstances that we've been living in have radically caused us to struggle with just doing the things that we took for granted. With our day-to-day life, with our church ministry, with evangelism, with Bible study, with everything that we do has had to change. And that is uncomfortable. That's frustrating. That's tiring. So if you're still here, if you're still fighting, again, I honor you. You know, I know that the enemy has been working overtime in a lot of our lives to try and get us to quit. And, you know, the discouragement is real when we don't always, you know, we follow these guidelines, we do things, and we kind of have the, sometimes, forgive me to put it this way, naive expectation that when we reopen the doors, it'll just be the same as it was before. And everybody who was there before will just be there again. And a lot of us have been struggling with that not being a reality, right? And so, Lord, we just need your encouragement today. You know, I just want to echo really what Pastor Jim was already saying, because the word that I got in my heart as I was preparing is that even Jesus wasn't sent on his mission alone. Like, let that sink into you for a moment. Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of God, God in the flesh, was sent by his Father on a mission to earth to seek and save the lost, to heal the broken, to do all of these things. But being God in the flesh, God the Father didn't tell him to do it alone. And if he wasn't sent to do it alone, how much more do I need a team around me? How much more do I need those friends that Pastor Jim was talking about this morning? You know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in this room that as he was talking about those moments of life, those Barnabas moments, right? Those people that step in when you're young and you're just getting on your feet. You know, for me, that was Kim Wheeler in Guatemala. That was Darcy Dubé, who was a big part of Faith Viva World Missions. You know, just imparting, pushing, grabbing my hands and putting them on people's foreheads and altar calls and saying, you know, these are the hands of God. God's going to use you too. Not knowing half of what I should have known to be in that place, but like you said, calling things out of me that they could maybe see, or they were just hoping that were there, I don't know. But they said, you know, there's other young men and women that have a call of God on their life, and we're gonna thrust them into these things. You know, I thank God for that. And I do ask myself that question, am I doing that for other people? I know you said, you know, relatively speaking, you know, the age gap, right? But I've already been involved in ministry, oh my, for like 17, 18 years, something crazy like that. And I have to ask myself, have I shifted gears and started to be a Barnabas for other people now? Have I started to pull people in, or am I so occupied on trying to carry out my own ministry that I don't have time. I don't see those things. There's a couple of quick passages I want to look at. One, again, we're all ministers, most of us here, so it won't come as a shock to anybody. Let's flip to Proverbs for just a moment. Pastor Jim mentioned one I was looking at about isolation and the dangers of isolation, how it gets us focused in only on, you know, our own little area of life and our own pursuits. But I want to look at a couple of positive, well, the first one's not so positive. But let's go for a moment to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, if I've got my notes right here. This is maybe a picture what has been happening in the church around the world, right? Feeling like before COVID came, we were doing okay. We were strong. We had things under control. But then what? Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And that's reality right there. If an adverse time, if difficult circumstances, if changing seasons cause us to just wither out, dry up, not doing this anymore, throw in the towel, I quit, then we have to be honest enough with ourselves to say that the strength that we thought we had wasn't actually that great. Because real strength, Strength that comes from the inside, birth of the Spirit of God, is an everlasting well that never runs dry, amen? It's something that rises up on the inside of us and is there no matter what's going on around us. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have small strength. You know, if this was a men's conference, I could really play that up, right? Because as guys, we like to think at least we're strong. Whether or not you work out, you probably change your posture instinctively when you walk by the mirror. Because we like to at least convince ourselves that we're strong. And we, you know, suck it in and put our chest out, and it's like, I'm not doing so bad, right? But if the reality kicked in, and if I was sent back to work on the farm like I did work growing up, I'd probably find out that my physical strength isn't so great. But there's another verse here that I just connected with, and it has a key word that connects it with that verse. And it says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, why do I connect those two verses? Because one, it speaks about having sufficient strength to face a time of adversity. But this verse talks about the reality that there are brothers, there are friends, that part of true friendship, of true brotherhood in the things of God, is that you will be there for one another in adversity, in the difficult times. You know, it's maybe historic that really this network is reforming and rebirthing at this time, in a time of adversity, amen? Because now more than ever, we need one another. And I know that's not, you're not gonna walk away from today being everybody's best friend, right? There are some people you're gonna connect with more. There are some people you're just gonna be like, you know what? It's good to know that there are other people in Saskatchewan, in Manitoba, in Ontario. It's good to know that even though it seems like culture has gotten so far away from God, that there's a remnant. I am not alone. I do have people I can call on. There are people fighting this fight. I'm not the only one. So I may or may not get to know each and every one of you today, although I want to get to know all of you, right? Some of you, I'm looking around, some of you I haven't seen in a long time, the Thunder Childs and the Weebs, and you know, it's just seeing you to me is a blessing, because I know that it's Turtleford and then your community is Thunder Child, of course. I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time since I was out that way. To know that there's a man and woman of God in that corner of my province, fighting the good fight, continuing on, amen? We need one another. And as I said, if Jesus wasn't sent to do his task, to carry out his mission alone, then how much more should we cling to and gather and, you know, draw on the resources that one another have. Let's go into the New Testament, and since we're talking about Jesus, look at John chapter 6. I had a bunch of notes about Paul, but Pastor Jim covered that better than I could have. So John chapter 6, or you know what? I don't know why I said John 6. I didn't mean that. John chapter 15, still in the right book at least. And Jesus is getting towards the end of his earthly ministry, right? He knows that he's going to have to go and die, and he spent, you know, we figure based on John's gospel essentially that Jesus' ministry was about 3 years long. John's gospel is the only one that says there was 3 Passovers. That's the only reason we figure that Jesus' ministry was about 3 years long. Bible college guys got to throw in something, right? But Jesus is getting towards the end of his earthly ministry. He's preparing his disciples. And it's so beautiful how John's gospel captures all of this. It says, if we start from verse 12 or so, well-known passage of scripture, right? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. For these things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is, for me, it's so beautiful, because we were talking about how relationships, you know, we have different relationships in different seasons of life. And sometimes the relationships that we're already walking in take on an entirely new characteristic. It's just like there's a shift. Maybe somebody who at one point in your life was a mentor. You know, I think, again, about my good friend Steve Stoffelson there. I went down to Guatemala. I was 18 years old, and I was just zealous and on fire, and I knew I wanted more of God, but that's about all I knew. And Steve had already been on the ground for, you know, a couple years in Guatemala, and knowing the culture, learning the language, getting acquainted with ministry. And, you know, that first year or so that I was in Guatemala, Steve was my mentor. And, you know, he spoke into my life. And it was very much, you know, I came under him because I honored him and I respected, you know, the walk he had. He'd already gone to Bible college. He already had this experience. But there was somewhere, and I'm sure we can't even point to, you know, the calendar and say where it happened, but there was some point in that relationship where it was no longer mentoring. It was friendship. It was partnering. And, you know, this is what's happening with Jesus and his disciples right here. Jesus has been walking with his disciples, and it's been very much a top-down sort of a relationship. Yes, a loving relationship, but it's a master-servant relationship. It's a rabbi-disciple relationship. And all of a sudden, Jesus is saying that I don't just view our relationship in those terms anymore. I view our relationship as a friendship. And he highlights a couple of things in there. And again, I know this is Jesus and his disciples, but let's just bring it down to us for a moment. Jesus says, what was that shift? What was the difference between where they had been and what their walk had been with Jesus before? When they had obeyed Jesus before, it was simply a command sort of a relationship, right? You are the master, I am the servant. Here I am to do what you ask. I don't ask questions. That's just the way it works. And isn't it great, pastors, to have people around us that are willing to walk in those terms with us? You know, they show up, and I think it's natural. Maybe it was the way I was brought up, but I think it's also a godly principle that when you come into a new place, when you're new, when you're, you know, you come under what's there. You don't impose yourself on what's going along. You don't come with your agenda. But Jesus is saying there's been a shift. There's been a change that's happened here, because, I mean, you still are going to obey me. I mean, this is Jesus, right? But friends get inside information. Friends don't just get the how to, the go and do it, this is what we're doing, but they get the whys. They get the, you know, this is what I'm thinking, this is what's going on in my heart, this is why we're doing these things. And so, you know, there's a lot of people maybe in our church that we can't trust with all of our whys. Let's just be real. You know, the things that we're working through, the things that we're wanting to see that they're maybe not ready for, the things that God has birthed in our hearts. We're leading the congregation, you know, with directives and let's do this, let's go. You know, this is the next program, the next activity. But we need true friends in ministry that we can wrestle with the whys with. Amen? And like I said, this is a season where we are all wrestling again. Because just the function, the model, the pattern that we've been following, that we've been accustomed to, doesn't work for the most part, right? So it causes us to go in, what are we really hearing from the Father now? As Pastor Jim said, even people that we can open up, I mean, Jesus, he had his struggle in the garden that he was successful over, and he called even his three closest disciples, you know, further into the garden with him in that moment of, do I really want to do this? Don't I really want to do this? You know, we need to have those people that are there for us when we don't feel like going any further, when we feel like retreating, when we feel like the price has gotten to be too much, that, you know, maybe we won't quit entirely, but we've basically on the inside sat down and we are just coasting. We need those people around us that we can call deeper into a place of prayer, deeper into a place of relationship with us, that we can say, you know what, it just seems too hard. Will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? You know, I consider it a privilege that I've never really had to be the number one guy in a ministry. I'm super grateful for that in my life. Because I love, you know, having somebody telling me, this is what we should do, this is where we should go, but also just not feeling alone at the top. Like, that's a difficult place to be. I can see it sometimes, you know, in people I know in their ministries. It's that, where do they turn to now? Who do they talk to now? And, you know, there could be a tendency, even as we walk away from today and those connections that we do make with one another, you know, let God direct how these relationships are built, because all of this takes trust. Jesus walked with his disciples. He knew he could trust them, you know, and he knew very well he was going to be betrayed by one of them. Always kind of keep that. That's bad for me to say that right now. It's like, do I really want to open my heart now? Which one of you is Judas? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, get to 12. Someone, no. But thank God, God told Jesus that that was coming, amen? So some of the questions that, you know, the Lord just impressed upon my heart as I was preparing, the question is, who do we trust? And I think as ministers, a lot of the time, we get to a place that it's maybe just our wife, but we do need more than that. It's not that our wife isn't enough or anything like that. It's just a different relationship, right? And familiarity, right? We tend to tune out our wives on occasion. Forgive me, hon. I'm confessing today before this entire congregation that happens, right? But not just who you can trust, who's a real friend, who you can get into that inner struggle with, but also, who are you dreaming with? Who can you really put on the table? You know, this is what I would love to see. These are the big ideas that God has placed in my heart. And maybe you've been struggling with it. Maybe you want to give up on your dreams. Maybe they seem like they're never going to come to pass. You've been in ministry for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And you thought, you know, there may be things that were sown as a seed when you were just a new believer. And you're starting to think that, no, this isn't going to happen. You need to have those people. You can still air those dreams, those thoughts, those aspirations, and say, you know, I still want to see these things happen. And somebody who's going to come beside you and say, amen, let's pray about that. Amen, let's partner about that. Amen, let's believe together for those things. Because again, it's been such a heavy, divisive time in culture, in the church over the last year and a half that I don't know about you, sometimes you feel like, I just don't want to say anything because everybody is on the attack. If I word this just slightly wrong, I'm going to come under the crossfire, right? I just need to bunker down into my trench and avoid no man's land out there. Like that's what our culture has been doing more and more over the last year, year and a half. It was already kind of heading that way. And social media has been a big part of that. But it's just like, it's making us want to be silent. But we as ministers of the gospel cannot afford to be silent. Amen? Because all we have at the end of the day are the Spirit-filled words of this gospel to change people's lives. And if we stop declaring, if we stop standing up and calling people to Jesus and using our voice, as much as we're not perfect at this, as much as we're not perfect at our own Christian walk, but we still stand up in the name of God and say, this is truth, this is gospel. You must be born again. You must know Jesus. We cannot be silent. And we're in a day and age where we're all trying to be silenced, which is ironic as I look at your mass, right? And I'm not against mass. It's just an illustration today. Oh, complete side note. But the mask thing reminded me of it. It was brought to our attention just a little while ago, and some of you maybe even wondered as we had the band up today. We were completely unaware that in Saskatchewan, under the current health guidelines, your band, while they're practicing and performing, is not required to wear masks. Just throwing that out there. Pastor Brent and I were talking about it. We hadn't noticed, another pastor friend of ours had pointed it out. So I meant to get that out of the way at the beginning, but just so you know. I didn't think anybody in this room was concerned about it, but as far as, you know, if you make that decision and you're and talking about coming under fire. We're all on social media and stuff now for our services, right? So if anybody asks you, why doesn't your band this or that? It's just like, it's in the guidelines. It's all good. So who can you trust? Who can you dream with? Who can you be just you with? Because we all have all sorts of masks that we wear, right? We probably try not to, but they just seem to come back on. Getting back to that point, we were talking about division and the interesting days that we're living in. We're talking about friendship. We're talking about, you know, even Jesus needing other people around him. He wasn't sent alone. He didn't send people out alone. That's another thing to think about, right? We talked a lot about the book of Acts and those dynamics and how they played out. But even in Jesus' own ministry, you never see him sending anybody to do anything alone, ever. That should be a big flag for us, right? It's like we are never supposed to, you know, be doing this alone at all. That's not the model that he laid out. But again, kind of hitting on the divisiveness of the last little while, I can't get away from this. I had the privilege to speak in our congregation a week and a half ago. Well, just over a week ago. And this is something I think we all also need to hear as ministers. And it comes back to what Jesus is instilling in his disciples. You know, this is birthed out of love, amen? Friendship, ministry partnership, how deep is our love for one another? And, you know, that's easy to read and that, you know, love one another as I have loved you. We all know it. I grew up hearing that. But again, stop and think about the people he's talking to. Who are these disciples that are in that upper room that are listening to Jesus as he's approaching that day? You've got 12 radically different people who, before they met Jesus, if they had met one another on the street, would have hated each other. You have zealots that say, we have got to do something about this situation. The Romans, these pagan oppressors, aren't we the people of God? Let's rise up. Let's arm ourselves. Let's overthrow them. Of course, God will be with us. Simon the Zealot, he's sitting across the table from Jesus. Sitting across the table from Matthew, the guy who sold out to the Romans. The guy who basically said, you know what, this is the situation that we're in. I can't change it. Yeah, God, I believe, you know, we are the people of God, but while this is the current situation, I might as well just live comfortably. And he's actually helping the oppressors. Jesus is speaking to these guys. He's speaking to fishermen. He's speaking to all these different currents of theology and politics in this little group of 12 people. And he's saying, love one another as I have loved you. And the church has not done a very good job in the last year and a half of letting our love be deeper than our partisan opinions about politics, about whatever's going on around the world. We have allowed the voice of our rightness that, you know, I have my reasons. I have my verses to back up my position. And we've talked down and we've attacked other people. That is not the love that Jesus was talking about. Amen. And again, am I saying that none of these secondary issues are important? Of course, they're important. But still, our love for one another must be deeper. It must be stronger. Amen. And I said to our church that which unites us must transcend that which divides us. And that which transcends all of those things is Jesus, is his spirit. And you think about it, Jesus, I'm fascinated by Jesus again and again. I mean, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, I love him. But think about it. He could say, come, follow me to Simon the Zealot. And something about Jesus was enough to penetrate that zealot's heart and to cause him to leave what he was doing, all of his plans, and to follow Jesus. That's same Jesus could say to Matthew, who had a comfortable job, who had given in to the corruption and said, I'm not even going to bother. I'm just going to live a good life. Something about Jesus saying, come, follow me. He left it all. It was what? Jesus that brought them together. And it's only Jesus that can keep us together. The love of Jesus birthed in our spirits. Amen. I don't want to take any time away from Megan this morning, and my time is up. So God bless you all, and let's live it. Amen. Amen.